On today's show, the Cavs won twice on the weekend, but they did it in different ways. We'll talk about all of that and more on today's show.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in is from our friends at Astro Radio. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify. I'm Chris Manning. I cover the Cavs and the NBA at large for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. That man over there is Evan Damrell. He is most commonly known as the proprietor of Write Down Euclid. Want to tell you, though, that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. With the promo code Locked On. That is prizepicks.com. The promo code is Locked On. All right, today's show, we're going to look at Cavs Pacers from Friday. We're going to look at Cavs Mavericks from Saturday, which was certainly a basketball game that I was in attendance for, as was Evan. And then we'll look at some of the schedule drama, quote unquote, coming around about after Luka didn't play Saturday and some of that. And also the Cavs week ahead. But Evan, let's start with two things. We're going to start, the last time I get to talk about this, the World Cup is over. And I don't, to make this a Cavs thing, do you see this Donovan Mitchell tweet? Someone saw they saw this Utah Jazz jersey and got to get Buddy the new one.
I mean, he's not wrong, no, because that's clearly 45, and I doubt the Jazz have reissued that number, unless, like, Denzel Valentine so happens to be playing for the team, and I wasn't aware of it, but
yeah, I agree.
I can't think of any 45s at the top of my head because it's such an uncommon number.
No, it's like Jordan in the comeback and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Weird stuff. For the record as well, prior to Saturday's game, J.B. Bickerstaff was asked by Rafa Hernandez who was going to win.
He knows this. J.B. knows ball,
Argentina,
I guess, as the kids would say.
Knows his ball. Does Messi like computers? Maybe not. All right. Evan, let's look at Cavs Pacers.
What? There's three players currently in the NBA that were 45. It's Donovan Mitchell, Delano Banton for Toronto, and Jericho Sims for the Knicks. So,
forgot about Jericho Sims and Donovan. Okay. Evan, Cavs Pacers. I think the only thing to really say about this game is that it really helps sometimes to have someone like Donovan Mitchell on your team.
Like, I think you can say that for both games. So.
Yeah, but Friday was like, hey, like, is he going to bail us out in a game we kind of didn't play that well? And, like, he's going to have, like, a monster fourth quarter and we win? I think the answer there was clearly yes.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like, I was asked about this on Sunday by Spencer German from 92.3 The Fan. And I asked J.B. Bickerstaff about this after Friday's win over Indiana that, like, hey, Donovan Mitchell kind of is having an MVP caliber season. And, like, games like that kind of, like, crystallize, like, his candidacy at times. Like, yeah. Jason Tatum's the clear front runner right now. You can make a case for Luka, Giannis, Embiid, but like Donovan Mitchell should be kind of in that pack a little bit. And depending on how the season goes, we'll see what happens. But like this win over Indiana, like this was a game where the Cavs just struggled to get up for. Many of us learned post-game that Cleveland didn't land in Cleveland from Dallas until 4 a.m. on Thursday. So they didn't really have a lot of time to prepare or rest for this game just because of the tornadoes that are going on in the South and mostly in Texas. But excuses aside, or just logistical reasons aside, this was a good win for Cleveland. But again, if they didn't have Donovan Mitchell, they would have been probably DOA as soon as Darius Garland went down with the eye injury in the season opener. Because, like, no disrespect to Colin Sexton or Lauri Markkanen or even Ochai Agbaji, who might be getting minutes just with how banged up the Cavs are right now. They would not be able to carry Cleveland like Donovan Mitchell has. And that game against Indiana was a clear-cut instance of him, like, just willing this team to victory.
The Cavs in this game really just kind of struggled with the pace of Indiana, the tempo of Indiana. The effort level was, you know, it was just kind of higher than Indiana. Like, Indiana had
the
much
pace
better...
of the Pacers.
The pace of the Pacers, yes. Like, they were just pushing the Cavs. Tyrese Haliburton was kind of getting what he wanted. Like, they just didn't have answers for a lot of stuff. And like, look, you could look at the jump ball thing with Benedict Mathurin and like Mitchell just kind of, like, I know this was talked about post game. I know our friend Danny Cunningham wrote about this at ESPN Cleveland. like that was like this moment where like Mitchell's just like, I'm gonna be annoying, I'm gonna like stick my nose in the middle of this game, and we're gonna like try to fight in this game. And then in the fourth quarter, here's his fourth quarter box score. 12 minutes, plays the whole fourth quarter. 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, 5 of 5 from the line. He had 18 points in that quarter. No assists, no turnovers, you know, 1 rebound, 1 foul. This was just like Donovan Mitchell gets a bunch of buckets and gets to the line, and the Cavs needed them to. And like, look, on top of that, the defense in the fourth was better. They held Indiana to 18 points in that quarter. But like, none of that matters unless Mitchell is just like absolutely cooking on offense, absolutely playing this kind of monster apex predator scorer role. And like, I think, you know, the MVP thing, I think he's like a little behind the main MVP guys, but I think this is like, he is on pace to have like an all NBA season, which would be the first year of his career. There's a very clear argument that he has never played better basketball than what the Cavs are getting from him right now.
I think that's a fair argument. Again, I was talking to Spencer German about this, but Donovan said the other day, and he meant no disrespect to the Jazz organization or his teammates, specifically Rudy Gobert. But this is the first time in a long time he's having fun playing basketball.
Yeah,
and like you can tell when he's on the court with the Cavs, like he's kind of not in this regimented system where everything has to be timing and pacing like he was in Utah. Like, it's a little bit more free flowing Cleveland. He's allowed to take up more shot opportunities and kind of do a little bit more interesting freelance stuff. And also credits to JB Bickerstaff for tapping into some of that defensive potential Mitchell still has in his tank. But you can just tell Mitchell's having fun out there, and it's kind of just really putting him on that trajectory to have an all-NBA caliber season, because he has a little bit more freedom compared to what he had in Utah last season or just in any of his time before coming to Cleveland in the NBA. But it's fun to see. I think it's just absolutely bonkers to watch him just kind of just work on offense and cook, because like when he hoists up a three-pointer, you're like, more often than not, like the game against Dallas was a surprise, because more often than not, when Donovan Mitchell attempts a three, he expected to go in. I say this a lot, Donovan Mitchell is just wired to win. Like, he, more often than not, and there's a lot of players that are like this, but I have the pleasure of watching him up close and personal, because Chris and I cover this team, mm-hmm. so we watch them every time they play, but he's just hardwired to win. Like, it's just crazy to watch a guy whose motor just consistently runs so red hot just like keep on attacking an opponent and just kind of will his team to victory some nights. Like, there's a couple games like that this season for Cleveland, but this one against Indiana is like the clear and apparent one where like the Cavs are at somewhat full strength, sans like Rubio and Wade, but they just did not have it that night against the Pacers. And Donovan Mitchell said, all right, I'm gonna put the team on my back and try and get us a win.
He is just having, like, I think even particularly like as the Cavs the last couple weeks have had like their offensive ratings not been great. They've like, you know, up, I haven't looked at this since before Friday, but like they had coming into Friday, they had like the 27th ranked offense over the last 2 weeks, scored in the glass. Like, people obviously saw the Kirk Goldsberry, you know, the chart over the last certain amount of games, and like where the Cavs were very clear, like playing very well in defense, but playing poorly in offense. They are still winning games in part because Donovan Mitchell is just like still playing in an insanely high level on offense, and that gets you somewhere. And that again, we keep saying this. You said, like, look, this wouldn't be happening, I don't think, with Abaji and Sexton and Markkanen. Like, he is just someone, yeah, or like any future picks. Like, he is giving you something that you need to really win and survive NBA seasons. And he's just been that dude at just a really, really high level. And this is one of those games where you're like, okay, this is why you get Donovan Mitchell. This is why he is so useful for you in navigating an 82-game season. Okay, after the break, we're going to transition to another kind of Cavs game, which was something. Which was certainly something. But first, we're going to tell everyone, I got to call Bad Reads first. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. All you got to do to play is pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go score more or less in their prize pick projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes the NBA, the NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, and a whole lot more. Entries can be made in. There's just so much. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. It offers safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. And Evan, you're up with our friends from Turo.
You are absolutely correct. Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, whenever you want, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion and budget across the US, UK, Canada, and it's coming soon to Australia. You can book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. You can get a classic or luxury vehicle for a special event, birthday, or holiday. You can find the affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and need to get from A to B. You can even test drive that new electric vehicle from a non-problematic owner or Twitter that you've had your eye on to see if it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Just mind yourself that every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com.
All right. We are back here on the Locked On Cavs podcast. I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damrell. Evan, let's transition to Cavs Mavericks, which went to overtime. The team scored a combined 7 points in overtime.
I was ready for it to go to double OT, so don't worry.
Cavs won OT 4-3. They win 100-99. And to me, Evan, if there's a through line of what happened in this game, you know, you got 10 points in the fourth from Mobley. And yes, you got 9 in the fourth from Mitchell. You got 6 points and 4 assists from Darius Garland in the fourth quarter as well. And they all answered this question in different ways. But it very much just felt like one of those nights where the Cavs didn't have it. The Cavs felt out of gas. You could just tell they were tired. Like, you looked at Donovan Mitchell. You know, he in this game finishes 1 of 9 from 3. 9 of 21 from the field. Still 25 points. Obviously got to line 8 times. Credit to him in that. But this team shot under 20% from 3. They didn't seem to have juice in their legs. And for them to get a win in that circumstance, and yes, I know Dallas is without Luka, all that stuff. They came in and played hard. They came at the Cavs. They got a fantastic game out of Kemba Walker. The Cavs just like made the most out of this. And it was ugly, but a win's a win. And you would feel good about that if you're them, I think, just getting the win and getting out of there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, let's be frank, that I didn't expect Cleveland to win, especially just about early into the third quarter. And then I think that's when Donovan Mitchell said, like, hey, that's when the Cavs kind of buckled down and realized, like, we need to get this going. And kind of funny gut check. It's interesting you said, like, the Cavs just didn't have it that night. GB Bickerstaff said exactly that postgame, that, like, he could just tell, like, his guys just didn't have it. I think Donovan Mitchell having such a Herculean effort against the Pacers probably gassed him out a little bit against the Mavericks. And yeah, like you said, there's no Luka in this one, but like Kemba Walker was really great for the Mavericks. Christian Wood had a very good game. Like Tim Hardaway Jr. was impactful. Like the Mavericks were able to lean a lot on their role players and get a surprise throwback performance from Kemba Walker as well, just to kind of make this a spicy game. And I know folks will say, like, oh, this should have been a winnable game for Cleveland. This is a game they should have won, considering they throttled the Mavericks a couple of nights ago. It's just, it's different circumstances. A lot of different circumstances are at play. And also, it's an interesting little bit of, like, a home-and-home playoff matchup where the Mavericks made some adjustments. Cleveland probably made some adjustments as well just to change things up, including having Jared Allen be one of the targets in an out-of-timeout inbounds play towards the end of the game and allowing Allen to get intentionally fouled and go to the line. But it was a slog, this game was. And I think if you're the Cavs, just you try to get through this one, and there's a lot to learn from it. And then you just, so you don't find yourself in this situation down the line.
Some of this is something is kind of related to me, related to like how we're going to talk about in segment three, with just sort of like the NBA schedule and guys taking games off and all of that stuff. And JB Bickerstaff was asked about this pregame, and I'd like to discuss his comments a little bit on that as well.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought we were going to wait till then.
Yeah, but I think what happened here is like related to this, right? Like I think like this is just like it. You can't do this. And like, and how you, it's hard, it'd be hard to like, it'd be so subjective in like what games you would pull like data from and what game you wouldn't and stuff like that, right? Like that is just like, you can't do that all the time with that, because that's just not how it's going to work. And like, you can't just like cherry pick games you're going to watch on film for eye test stuff and your evaluations and thinking about how good teams really are. And like, maybe this game almost like just tells you something that like, hey, the Cavs like dig deep. They did figure it out. Like, they got just enough and won, and there's something to that, you know, and they kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and you could see them like trying to search for answers. Like, there was just this random like 6 minute Howell Neto like cameo, and you're just like, okay, like, we're going to play a lineup we've never played before just to like find some stability here. And like, you could just see them kind of searching for things. And that's just like a weird part of this game, but it worked. And like, I mean, like, you got like 18 and 12 from Darius Garland. He had like one of his better games of late, even though he didn't shoot particularly well. Like, Mitchell's again, still at 25. Mobley, you know, if we were doing awards, I think he gets my MVP for this game, because I think he was outstanding. And
yeah.
Like, Evan, I think the last thing we should maybe hit on from this game, though, is it for two games this weekend. First Friday. Oh, I had that up for a while. First Friday and then Saturday, Evan Mobley hits a corner three-pointer.
Yeah.
What do you make of the fact that he is now comfortably taking them and has made two in a row? And, like, you know, we'll see. I don't know. He's not a real three-point shooter yet. But what do you just make of the of how he's shooting and the confidence he's shooting with?
It's encouraging, because he really talked about it leading up to the regular season, and especially when he was available during the preseason to the media to speak. He hyped it up quite a bit. He certainly talked up that, and like, whenever you see him in like shoot around or practice, like, more often than not, he's working with Luke Walton and the training staff and the coaching staff to like just consistently shoot threes from different spots from beyond the arc, especially in the corner, like he did when he had those two clutch corner threes and against the Pacers and the Mavericks this weekend. Like, I think that's super encouraging at the end of the day, because I asked JB about this during the preseason. I believe Joe Varden asked him about it post game after the Pacers game, where it's just like, do you want him taking those shots? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. If he's open, we want him taking those shots. And I think that's a good belief to have. And it's just more so making sure Mobley is comfortable taking those shots. And clearly he is, because like the one against the Mavericks, especially, was off a really good drive and dish from Darius Garland. And Mobley just was ready. He didn't even hesitate. He looked very fluid and very comfortable. And like, that's what you want from the guy who is on pace to become the franchise player for you. And it just kind of makes Evan Mobley's game even more fun to break down, because it's still just so untapped, and we don't have a clear vision of when is it like finally rounded out. Like, when does he finally have enough? Like, when is he tapped out, I guess?
The other thing that I'm looking for here is like, when do teams start reacting to him getting the ball in that spot?
It's hard, though, because he's so tall and his arms are so long. Like, how do you defend that, though, is the problem, well, like, properly? And yeah, it's like, not okay. Even that, too. Like, he hit a fadeaway in the fourth quarter, too. I'm like, okay, he's got a little spice in his bag tonight.
And well, it's like, okay, like, we've seen interesting stuff with Mobley as a passer. Like, that is one of the more interesting parts of his offensive game, I think.
Yeah. We saw it against the Mavericks, where he got an offensive rebound and had the presence of mind to kick it to Kevin Love in the corner.
Yeah, it was a really great pass. He also has that ability to hit a Euro step, to like to drive a little bit. His handle is still kind of loose. That is one of the, I think, the weaknesses in his offensive game that I think you would assume would get better over time. But let's say like this week they're playing Toronto and it's a close game late. He gets closed out in that situation. You know, does he take the shot still? Does that open up him, like, you know, taking a step? Like, can he nail, like, attacking that closeout and then, like, okay, you're playing the advantage on the paint? I think him, like, being a threat teams respond to in that spot, not just, like, a guy they leave in the corner and you kind of cross your fingers and hope they hit it. If that becomes, like, a real thing, you start seeing, I think, a little more juice offensively in those situations. And, like, that takes pressure off of Mitchell. I think that takes pressure off of Garland. And it gives him like some utility in the offense that I think will be good for them. But I'm curious to see, like, you know, it's two games in a row. I could see like the scouting report, like for a game this week, being like, maybe it's the Jazz, maybe it's the Bucks, and maybe it's, you know, Toronto or the Nets after the holiday. Maybe one of those teams is like, hey, we're gonna try to run him off the line. Maybe they don't. I just want to keep watching it to see how that looks. It's clearly something they're going to try to have in what they're doing.
Yeah, it's clear. I mean, that game against Milwaukee on Wednesday will certainly be like the interesting one. I think Toronto as well. I'm curious. I haven't broken down a ton of Jazz footage, but like, they are a very fun, young, and scrappy team from just the outset looking in. But It is interesting to see how defenses play Mobley on the perimeter, and also how does Mobley react to defenses playing him on the perimeter? Does he like try to foul hunt a little bit sometimes and maybe get people to bite on pump fakes, or does he respond to the closeout by trying to drive to the basket or just quickly reading the defense in passing? Like, there's a lot of interesting stuff here, and I'm fascinated to see how it kind of evolves and grows, but I don't want to say two to three three-pointers a night is a part of Mobley's offensive diet going forward, but like, we're starting to see a bit of a trend where he's taking more threes every game, and that's encouraging.
I mean, the fact that he's taking them in that situation in itself is like,
oh, that's notable more than anything, because that's like Donovan Mitchell. Evan Mobley is hardwired to win as well, and he's more often than not sometimes frustratingly too unselfish, and he would probably look to pass in a lot of those scenarios too, and instead he's like, nah, I'm going to rip it, and he makes it.
Yes. For the year, Evan Mobley's 29% on corner threes. That's not good, but it's a little above last year. We'll see where this goes. All right, one more break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about the idea of just what the 82-2 game schedule looks like for NBA players now, and also the Cavs' big week ahead. But Evan, you first have an ad read for us.
We sure do, and I sure do. Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by ExpressVPN. So we all know now that ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But there's something you may not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Maybe you've run out of stuff on Netflix like I have, and I can tune in and check out Studio Ghibli if I just use ExpressVPN. It allows you to binge also The Office on Netflix, and it's so simple to do. You just might as well sign up Netflix, fire up that ExpressVPN app, change your location to the UK, hit refresh, and watch that Scranton classic. ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think are located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries, so imagine all the Netflix libraries you can go through. Love Korean dramas? Use ExpressVPN to parasite off South Korean Netflix with your Netflix subscription. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, Apple TV, you name it, ExpressVPN has it covered. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN is to watch shows, and it's because it's also just ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD, no problem at all. ExpressVPN also works on all your devices, including phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and so much more. You can watch what you want to watch on the big screen or on the go. So if you want to get access to hundreds of new shows, go to expressvpn.com/lockedon right now, and you can get an extra free 3 months of ExpressVPN. That's expressvpn.com/lockedon. expressvpn.com/lockedon to learn more and get 3 free months if you sign up.
All right, last segment, Locked On Cast Podcast. Evan, Cleveland was a fan at the Cavs game on Saturday. Yes, we did. Was a catalyst for what became a debate on the internet about, you know, players resting and the 82 game schedule, and like, you know, people going to games to see star players and those star players not playing. JB Bickerstaff was asked about this post game, and he's like, "Look, we try to drill our guys to try and play, and you know, like, if they're able to play, they go and all that stuff." Then, like, you know, he was asked, like, you know, guys used to play like 48 minutes a game and like whatever, and like, why don't you do that anymore? And it's just like, you know, like, basically, like, as people, we've gotten smarter, like, guys miss more games and whatever. Okay. Here's kind of just, go ahead.
Okay. So my counterpoint to that is,
yeah,
one, athletes are also so much more physically dominant and different compared to like the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, where like watching the World Cup today, like, these are dudes at their absolute peak, but they're absolutely just harbingers. Like, they could dominate the competition if it was back in that day. Like, if you picked up and dropped, let's just say Luka, like, Luka would find a lot of ways to be very creative and very dominant, and would probably lead the Mavericks at the time, if he was with the Mavericks or whichever team he ends up on, to a championship, or he would be one of those teams that we talk about, like, oh man, remember the Luka Doncic Mavericks? But that also means, because there's players that are dominant like Luka, it means everybody's almost at that skill level too, where they can be physically dominant and people can get hit. And like, I studied kinematics and biophysical measurements and everything else in college. Like, I have part of my PhD figured out in this, but then I quit medical school because of burnout. But either way, it's really hard to gauge saying like, oh yeah, back in the day, Wilt Chamberlain would play 48 minutes or 82 games a season. But also Wilt Chamberlain was dominating physical competition of like guys that were probably have the same physical attributes that I do, or maybe a little bit better than I do, versus now where like you have guys that are just like absolute dominant forces. And I think we're spoiled as sports fans because you see guys like Tom Brady or LeBron James, and who, at least in LeBron's case, you're seeing a bit of that breakdown now where like these are guys who invest millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in their body because it is the instrument that gave them their career. And that's where the argument is like science has made it better, but it's also more practical to think, hey, you don't want to just obliterate your knees or your back at the in your early 20s just so you can squeeze out two more regular season wins.
Yeah, like look, ultimately, I think one of the things about this that I feel strongest about is just that like this is somewhat about team owners and teams, and like teams have to decide, owners have to decide like, look, like to get maybe to get make these games more value, individual games more valuable, to for us to care about some of this, we play less games. You take that L, you deal with it, and like you move on. The other part of that I think you're correct about is just like, I think we're in this situation with this where it's like, you have to be, guys are like gonna like get hurt. Like, they shorten the season, and if you're 80 and you're gonna play 82, guys that play heavy minutes, have these heavy workloads, like they're just gonna get hurt if they just take on these burdens and play this way. Like, it is a different world than Will Chamberlain played in, or guys played in the 80s. Like, yeah, we're smarter. We should be smarter about that. Players should be smarter about that. They should be maximizing their careers. They shouldn't play. They should be, you know, it's like if you can play 15 years instead of 10, you should probably try to play 15 years instead of 10 and make yourself more money. And like, look, it isn't perfect. I'm not saying like you're obviously not. Sometimes this is just going to happen. And like, I feel for this kid who the Dallas Morning News, you know, wrote a story about, and he flew from Israel with his dad. And, you know, the Mavs are going to take care of him now and whatever, and get him to do a game somewhere in the Midwest. This whole thing is just like, I think it's just, it comes back to like money and like just you're picking, playing as many games as possible to maximize how many times you can get them on television and sell stuff in the arenas versus like the actual quality of the game. That's just the reality of being in at the top at this level. I think that I can't really, I have no other way to see it other than that.
Yeah. And I mean, I empathize with the fans, like,
yeah,
I understand the disappointment, like in this young man's case, where him and his father allegedly flew 5,000 plus miles to see Luka play in Cleveland, and I mean, that's fine. Or like
if the Dallas Morning News like had this whole feature about it and reported on it, I'm gonna believe that that's true.
I saw the tweet, and it just said we saw a young man courtside holding the sign, and then it became a story. Twitter is what set it on fire. But either way, it's just, it is disappointing if from the fan point of view. I understand that, but I also look at it this way. A lot of us are working adults. Our audience is predominantly men in 18 to 30, like guys that are working right now, and like it's the holidays or stuff comes up with your family, or like Chris knows, like I'm trying to plan a wedding, or like Chris has work conferences and stuff, or like things are like we're away from the podcast itself. It's like it is natural to take days off from your job, especially when you're an athlete where it's a physical 82 game grind where you could possibly be playing from September until May, June, or even July. And like that's hard physically and mentally. And sometimes you need to step back, and it's not just your physical well-being, but your mental well-being you need to take care of as well. And like from us on our level, like you take days off work, I take days off work, Chris takes days off work, we take days off this podcast. And it's understandable, like, in just the grand scheme of things, from an organizational competitive point, I understand where the Mavericks are coming from the fan aspect, I understand, but, like, from the player aspect, and I think that's where I understand the most, I don't see a big deal because, again, this game has so many elite players now that I don't think the product is necessarily lessened to a degree if you rest Luka Doncic, or let's say, like, the Cavs out of the blue rest Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell tomorrow against the Utah Jazz, like, or today against the Utah Jazz, because this is Monday's show. Like, I don't see the issue with it at the end of the day.
Yeah, look, I think ultimately this is not like a player problem. This is like an owner and league problem. And I think something could be done to fix it to make sure like this doesn't happen as much. But I also think like you should do some things to Like, there has to be,
I just don't think that's going to happen in this economy, so.
I agree. And I think, like, that this leaves you with this imperfect situation where, like, every once in a while you're going to have, like, some discomfort. Evan, let's end on a happy note, though, because we forgot to talk about something with Cavs Mavs. You know who's in the hot? We didn't even talk about this, and I'm, like, kind of mad at us for not doing this.
Well, I'm upset we didn't mention Joey Chestnut was in the house, really, the other night. So, but Stipe Miocic, Miles Garrett, J.R. Smith.
Yeah. J.R. Smith is the one we're going to hit on here because Stipe Miocic did chug a beer, which was pretty cool. But J.R. Smith, this is a tweet from our friend John Rutter, took a picture in front of the Fred McLeod media room where there's this picture of Fred and some of his ties. I believe this is the first time J.R. has been back in Cleveland at a Cavs game since he left. It's the first time at least I knew of. What a cool to see him back. Glad he had that moment on the sidelines with Donovan Mitchell where he was like annoyed at the call. This whole thing was just like very funny. And I love when a city and like an environment get a chance to like just celebrate a guy like J.R. Smith in a game like that. It was fun to see him back. Fun and more J.R. Smith at Cavs games as he's willing to do it. It's a good time by me.
I agree. And I think it's also good just given like the way the situation in Cleveland ended. At the beginning, like, and then the kind of come full circle, and the Cavs have really done a good job with like reconnecting with a lot of like former franchise greats, no matter how big or small they were, whether it's Z, Vergeau, Jose Calderon's in the front office, Booby Gibson's a scout for the Charge now, like JR is just kind of back in the house and just, you know, is the man in the arena, the honorary team captain. Like, it's nice to see, like, you jokingly text a group text you and we have with Danny Cunningham about like former Browns appearing at things. Like, I think that's always going to get people to cheer and shout. But like, I think it's cool now that like we're seeing like these Cleveland athletes just kind of being normal people and hanging out at sporting events and like they get the recognition and kind of get some of the applause that like you see former Browns legends getting.
Yes, 100%. All right. That's going to be it for this episode of Locked On Cavs. Can't wait till a Cavs game happens and they flash to like Dylan Windler in 2040 and they're just like, Dylan Windler's here, and it's like you get a big pop. Can't wait for that vibe. That's gonna be hilarious.
Well, I don't know about that. JaVale McGee didn't get a tribute video last night, and I for one was kind of outraged because I love JaVale in Cleveland.
How many are we getting? Two tribute videos on Monday in Cleveland? Cavs Jazz?
Well, it depends if Colin Sexton travels with the team or not, but I would imagine Colin at least gets a thank you if he's present. Or, shoot, JC as well. I don't know.
But JC's been back before, and like him and Kevin had that whole bromance thing. I think at Lowry and Colin, you kind of... We'll see what they do. Lowry,
I think he does get one. Colin, I think of the two of them, would for sure get one if Colin does travel the team, but I don't know if he's traveling with the Jazz or not.
We will find out. Until next time, I'm Chris. That's Evan. We'll be back after Cavs Jazz to recap that game, discuss everything going on in that one. Until then, we'll talk to you in this episode. As always, was produced by the one and only Jake Stevens. Everyone, be well. Talk to you tomorrow.